Our lesson text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, like I said, chapter 2. My wife told me last week I may have given y'all the wrong chapter, but it's chapter 2. God gave me a help me. Chapter 2, verses 25 through verse 35. And our key verse today, we're going to look at two verses for our key verse today. Verse 29, which says, Lord, now thou lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. And verse 34, it says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. We shall speak on this first Sunday of the new year, a promise kept. A promise kept. You may be seated. This year we will make many promises going into the new year. Some of you call them resolutions. Some of us have promised that we're going to lose weight, and you can't even get into the health club on tomorrow. It's going to be so many people there. But by February, they're going to thin out. It happens every year. We come up to a time when people are telling me, Pastor, I'm going to be more committed this year as a church member. Some people have vowed that they're going to stop drinking alcohol, that is. Some people have said that they're going to stop hanging out in the mall and shopping so much and buying all that stuff that you have to take back. Some people have even said that they're going to stop smoking. That's cigarettes and anything else you smoke. But the problem is, what power do you have to stop? What power do you have to keep you out of the casinos? You know, if you're making these resolutions on your own power and your own strength, there is a problem. There is a problem. I just want to pause for a minute to share with you. This college football team had been very successful. They had been so successful that they said, you know, we've been so successful, we're going to change our mascot. We're going to get a new mascot. So they got the new mascot, and two young men asked the coach of the team, they said, well, can we keep the mascot in our dorm room? The man said, well, the coach said, well, if you all want to, you all can keep him. But now remember that the new mascot is a goat. And they said, well, we think that the goat would get used to the smell in our room. I don't know if that went over your head. But I just want you to say, if the goat can get used to the smell, then, and that's normal, 700 and some young people were killed last year in the city of Chicago. Shot down, most of them young black men. Is this going to be our new norm? Are we going to get used to the smell of murder in the streets? They say some 50 young people would die on heroin in DuPage County this 2016. There's a new home for unwed mothers that's going to be established at Roosevelt and West Avenue in Wheaton. The homeless population in DuPage County is increasing. Are we going to get used to the new norm? Are we going to get used to the smell that's penetrating throughout our community? We just want to talk this morning. We just want to teach What God promises, God can deliver. There are a lot of people may promise you something. I promised a man I was going to meet him at Pernell Bread for breakfast a couple of weeks ago. I totally forgot. Supposed to meet him at 8:30. I woke up, it was 9:30. I told my wife, I totally forgot. You know, in our own limited capacity, we don't have any righteousness outside of God. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, we'll go and try to establish our own righteousness. So being righteous means, see, God is righteous because what God said, he can do. God cannot lie. So, but we can. We can lie. I had no intentions of not showing up. I put it on my calendar at home and put it on my calendar at church. And I slept through it. Y'all know one time, I was trying to lose some weight and I was working downtown and I told my wife that I was going to stop eating them bonbons. You know, they had one of them, those cinnamon bombs in the train station. I sit at home and explain to my wife, I say, you know, them bonbons things is full of sugar and they're no good for you, Evelyn. I'm just going to stop eating them. I got on the train and went downtown, got off the train, walked straight into the place. All the two bonbons sitting up there with the stuff around my mouth. I thought about my wife. Without God's power, how can we keep the things that we say we're going to do? Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. You can write that one down. So as we look at our lesson text, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man were just and devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, pay attention, because there's not too much said about Simeon in Scripture. The only thing that's said about him, and in my part of my outline this morning, the first point is Simeon's identity and revelation. The next point is Simeon's meeting with the Christ. The next one is his constellation and religion, in his realization, and that's verse 29 through verse 32. So we look at Simeon. Being the Bible say that he was just and he was devout. Two things that made this man outstanding in his community. See, means that he was just. We're talking about on the vertical. How he dealt with humanity. See, there's two things that make you great in the eyesight of God, that makes you approval in the eyes. First of all, you know, you get it right on the vertical. That means that he was just in his dealing with man. So Simeon was just. He had it right on the vertical. He had a good relationship with the community. He had a good relationship on his job. He had a good relationship in the church. He had a good relationship all around, but it also say that he was devout. That means he had a good relationship He had one on the horizontal, but he had a good one on the vertical as well. He had a good relationship with God, and he had a good relationship with man. See, that's what God wants to look at. You cannot have a good relationship with God and don't have a good relationship with man. The Bible say that he was just and he was devout. That means that Simeon, not much said about him, but that say that Simeon was a good man. But he was waiting for the Messiah to come. He was waiting for the Messiah to come. And because he had this relationship right on the vertical and relationship right on the horizontal, there was a lot of things that was going on in Jerusalem under the domination of the Roman government and under the oppression of Herod the Great times was tough. Also, there was this arrogant and corrupt priesthood that controlled the temple. There was also these legalistic Pharisees that everywhere he went, and the taxes were high, and insurrection. Everywhere he would go in Jerusalem, people were talking about insurrection, overthrowing the government. Sound almost like America. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of this darkness and all this degradation and all of this depression, Simeon, because of his relationship with God, and because of his relationship that he had with mankind, he was also waiting for the Redeemer to come. They say he was waiting for the consolation. He was waiting for the Redeemer to come. He had something to keep him. See, I'm going to tell you. The stuff that we see in the news today can't keep you. You better have a better relationship. Your favorite team may lose. Your favorite politician may not get elected. But you better have something beyond that. You better know who holds the government on his shoulder. You better know whose name is peace. You better know the master who desired the borders in all nations. You better know him. My desire is to know him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Simeon was a just and a devout man. And also, they say he had the Holy Ghost was upon him. Let me just explain something to you, because see, this is before the day of Pentecost. They say the Holy Spirit was upon him. And see, before the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit indwelled us. But see, before that, God would send his Holy Spirit on certain occasions to certain people. But see, he was full of the Holy Spirit. This is before Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit was always working. You know it was always working, because you remember in Genesis, he said, let us make man. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was always there. Pentecost, he just gave it to us on a different way. Pentecost, I can't pray the prayer that David prayed in the 51st Psalm. I can't say, Lord, don't take your spirit from me, because he has promised me that his spirit will never leave me, nor will it forsake me. And so we see here that Simeon. And it says, and it was revealed. See, the thing about scripture, we spend so much time trying to inform people, but it's not the information that people need. It's the revelation. See, unless you have a revelation of who God is, I could stand up here and preach all day. Go in one ear and go out the other. I could plant seeds, the birds come and take them up just like God does. I can spend all my time, but the thing about it, it says, and it was revealed. Now, I don't know how it was revealed to him, whether it was in a dream or how God spoke to him, but that ain't my business. It said, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. Has anything ever been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. It ain't going to be nothing bad. And I just want to say one thing to these young ladies in here. The Holy Spirit ain't going to tell you to marry somebody that ain't in the church. Hello. Men too. Why would God send you some unsaved person? Or why would, oh, God gave me this job, and they're making bombs down there. See, we're trying to claim so much stuff that God ain't had nothing to do with. And every funeral we go to, God didn't kill him. God has a permissive will, and God has an active will. The Bible says, if you destroy this body, you're going to be destroyed. So the thing that we have to understand, I get so tired of going up to the church if a man smokes 20 packs of cigarettes a day and drank all kind of liquor, and they stand up there, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh it away. I say, help me, Lord. I just had to throw that one in. That wasn't in my notes. I just had to take a sidebar. So we see Simeon here. He was a devout man, and he was just, and it said the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it says that the Holy Ghost It said, let me start over again, 26 verses say, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Hallelujah. Say, Simeon, you ain't gonna die until you see the Lord's Christ. Now, pay attention, because Mary's gonna bring her baby in there, Jesus. But I just want you to know this thing says you're not going to die, Simeon, until you see the Lord's. Apostrophe S on the Lord. This means Jehovah God. Until you see the Lord's Christ, the anointed one, you're going to see Jesus. And then it's going to have to be Jesus Christ, human, divine. Then it's going to have to be Christ, Jesus, divine, human. And then all of a sudden it's just going to be the anointed one, the Christ, the risen Lord. Pay attention in the Bible how you read the Bible, because sometimes it's referring to Jesus in different states of time. But here it says that Simeon, I know they're going to bring the baby Jesus in there for his blessing, but I want you to know that you ain't going to die until you see the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one, the one that the Lord would raise up and say, all power of heaven and earth is given unto you, but I cannot micromanage the world. I got to send my own son into the world to redeem lost humanity. So he says, Simeon, you ain't gonna die till you see the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple. And it says, and he came into the temple by the Spirit, and Simeon was led. See, the Holy Spirit leads you. If you don't believe how the Holy Spirit leads, read the book of Acts. See, the Holy Spirit led them from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world. Even when they tried to go in one direction, the Holy Spirit carried them into another direction. And see, that's what we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. The Holy Spirit, and by the way, Simeon had no biblical title in the church. He was not a priest. He was not a teacher. He had no official capacity. He was just a lay person. He was just an ordinary person in the church. See, God used ordinary people. And God used Simeon. He was just an order. God can use you because you got a ministry. So God used Simeon. And that's why the people say, well, pastor, I need you to go witness. And you the pastor. God has given you the knowledge to understand how to witness. Because your witness is your witness. And your witness is what you can use to help save lost humanity. But we see here Simeon being a lay person and being full of the Holy Spirit. And Simeon, you know, and it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus. Now you see what I'm talking about? But see, the parents brought the child, Jesus. But Simeon was waiting to see the Lord's Christ. Are you with me? They bought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. So it was a custom of the law that they would bring in the baby to be blessed. Mary, being after her 40 days of being, you know, declared unclean when a woman had a child, it's 40 days before she could go in the temple. But they say that she even met Simeon in an outcourt called the women's temple. They wasn't even able to go into the main part of the temple. Now, if you had a boy baby, it was 40 days. But they say if you had a girl baby, it was twice that before you can go in the temple. I don't know why that is, but that's the way they wrote it in antiquity. Something about them girl babies, you had to wait longer. I don't want to deal with that one. But anyway, so they brought the baby as it was the custom, as it was the law to be blessed. And that's why we need to bless our children. We need to bless them to put them on the right trajectory. And you know, that's what I'm talking about. See, a baby blessing. We don't baptize babies in the Baptist church. We don't baptize infants. But when they are 4 years old, that's the age of accountability. And at 4 years old, they should be able to understand some abstract form of God. My daughter Ashley is sitting there. She was baptized at 4. My sisters call me and say, why are you baptizing Ashley so early? I said, wait a minute. We were driving in the car on the way to church. Ashley saw a lady in a paramedic's van. She said, Daddy, That baby, that woman in there need Jesus. She's 4 years old. Next thing I know, she was standing up in the church saying she wanted to join and she wanted to be baptized. But you see, she had seen us pray. We had brought her up in the church and in the admonition of the Lord. So it wasn't strange. It wasn't a strange thing that she was ready. I told my sister, I say, Ashley is ready. And I found out that had none of my sister's children been baptized and they was in their 20s. But see, watch folk that call you. Lord help us. But anyway, when we look at this situation, we look at how Simeon brought this baby Jesus into the temple. And then it says, it was a custom. And then took him up in his arms and blessed God. He took the baby up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now let us, thou that servant, depart in peace according to thy word. He said, now you have what you have promised me, I have seen it. What you have promised me, now I can go and rest in peace. Now, it doesn't say how old Simeon was. It even doesn't say he was an old man. But if you go on down there, it said that Anna, who also, they say she lived in the temple, but she didn't live there. She just went there on a regular basis so much that they thought she lived there. You know that idea. Somebody go to church all the time, they say you live there. But anyway, you know, when we look at a Simeon, you know, we look at him. Also, it says in that verse that when he came and the Lord, he said, now I can die. Now, let me just bring this thing home. What is it that in your life, what is it that in your dispensation, what is it that will complete your life? What is it that you would be happy with? What is it that would give you the peace of God? See, a Christian should never be afraid of death. See, there's nothing about death that I'm afraid of, because God has indemnified me beyond the grave. There's nothing in death that can hurt me. There's nothing in death that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so you see here, and then he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes, looking down at the Lord's Christ. He said, my eyes have seen the salvation. I have seen the salvation. I have seen the salvation of the world. See, part of what the Messiah was going to do, he was going to bring salvation. And people had looked at salvation and saved them. But when we receive our salvation, we receive God's provision, God's protection, and God's prosperity. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you receive God's prosperity, when you receive God's protection, see, when you receive God's protection, you can walk through the valleys or the shadows of death and you will feel no evil. When you receive God's protection, he can protect you from all of those sins and diseases that are out there in the world. It said none of those things are going to come to you. That's part of your salvation. Divine health is part of your salvation. Prosperity, God's way, is part of your salvation. God's provision, he has promised you these things. Not only to forgive your sins, but part of your salvation is that God will provide all of the things that you need. Part of what you need to be saved is to have salvation. Salvation has benefits. He said, what thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He said, you have done this before the faith of all people. Now, let me tell you, see, Gabriel, the angel, said some good things about Christ, the baby to be born. And we see that Zechariah, Elizabeth, and all of these, and even Mary said some good things. But no one divided this thing up like Simeon did. And Simeon said, this baby, this Lord's Christ, a light to the light to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Say, this baby is going to be light. See, the Gentiles didn't have the law, and they had lived in darkness for many years. But he said, this baby is going to be light to the light to the Gentiles. This baby is going to give light to the path of all Gentile people. This baby that I'm talking about. Although the Gentiles live in darkness, but this baby is going to provide some light. See, I'm telling you something. When you've been out there in the world sinning, see, sinning was just part of the whole Gentile life. But he said, this child is going to give light to the Gentiles. But not only is he going to give light to the Gentiles, he's going to give light to the Israelites as well. But there's something that Israel needs kind of different because they got the law. He said, for the Israelites, for the Jews, he's going to be glory. See, what the Jews need to have to understand who God is, they needed to have the glory, that Shekinah glory. See that cloud that led Israel in the desert, that cloud, that light in the middle of the desert, that was God's Shekinah glory. See, when God fed them that manna from heaven, when God provided for them, see, the Gentiles needed to understand, but not only did Jehovah provide for you that glory, that Shekinah glory, but I'm sending a child that would also provide that glory. He's going to be light to the Gentiles, but he's going to be glory to Israel. He's going to be light and glory to all of them, but I'm just telling you what you need. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's a dermatologist for those that need a dermatologist. He's a heart fixer. Everything that you need, God is. He's a podiatrist. And he's everything that you need. Whatever kind of doctor you need, he's that kind of doctor. He's an OB Cunning. Hallelujah, church. Whatever you need, God has got your back. And it says here, in that 30th verse, say, my eyes have seen thy salvation, what thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he goes on down to tell you about he's going to be the light and he's going to be the glory. And then I like in verse 33, he says, and Joseph and his mother. Some of you say that his father, but we know that Joseph was not his biological father because he had to go around Joseph because he couldn't deal with the sin nature that Joseph had. So he had to have God to be the divine father. I can't send this child into the world because the man, every man who came after Adam, the first Adam has a sin nature. So I'm going to have to bypass the first Adam and I'm going to have this baby fully human and fully divine. But legally speaking, you know how it is when you're legally speaking. When I go down to the counter, they say, what kind of church y'all got? Oh, you don't have to fill out the papers. They say, no, we don't need to know nothing about Christian. We just can't put down there religious. Well, I told the lady, I said, you know, that's a man walk by my house every morning at 7:30. He does it religiously. You know, they... You understand me? But they say, no, we don't want to hear that. All we want you to do is put on this paper that you are a religious organization, and then we'll exempt you from taxes and all of that kind of stuff. Don't come in here trying to tell us nothing. I said, okay, just give me my exemption. I'll go on back. But here they had to put down here, and Joseph and his mother. Well, they say and Joseph and his mother, but some of your Bible say the father. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Because pay attention now, because some of these things is spoken. It's what's going to comfort Mary when she stands at the cross. When Mary stands there and watch her child. I don't know about you if you ever seen your child hurt, but to stand at the cross and to watch your child go through crucifixion, expiation, and all of that stuff is painful. But the words that, but theologians say the words that comfort Mary was the things that were spoken by Simeon when she carried the baby in to be blessed. And Simeon blessed them. See, the first thing you have to do is bless the parents. See, the parents have to rededicate themselves before you can bless the baby. You know, I tell folks that, they say, I want to bring my baby to get blessed, but first you got to be blessed. You know, when you're flying on a plane and the pilot said the plane going to crash and you got your child with you, they say, first you put on the mask, on the oxygen thing, get yourself together, then we can save the child. You can't bless the baby and the parents are still kicking it. Y'all know I'm right. get mad with the pastor. We want our baby blessed. Well, you ain't blessed. We got to first dedicate the parents, and then we got to nurture and admiration, and then we got to allow you to use all of the agency of the church. And then the baby blessing is only for you to use the church to raise up the child till the child can come down here and make a confession. See, that's supposed to line up. That's the trajectory is that you're going to line up for the baby to come down here and join the church. But you just want to get the baby blessed and come down here and everybody dressed up and go out and eat, and we don't see you no more. But see, that's what has happened to the world. But they see here that they say first, you know, we got to dedicate this thing to the parents. And he says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, now this is the part, this is the key. He said, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. This child. What you do with Jesus will determine the rise and the fall of many nations. For some, oh, he's a stone. But for some, he's going to be a stumbling block. For some, he's going to be a stone that you can step on that'll lift you higher. But what's going to determine, hallelujah, what's going to determine whether your house is going to fall or what's going to determine whether your house is going to rise is what you do with Jesus. What's going to determine in your house? What's going to determine on your job? What's going to determine in your life? What's going to determine in many nations? Simeon got it right. He said the rise and the fall has to do with what you do with Jesus. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. There's no half stepping. There's no procrastination. It's what you do with Jesus that will determine your rise and your fall. What are you going to do with Jesus? There's no point in you trying to get a $500,000 house and you don't have Jesus. That house is going to be turned over. Be like Howard Hughes, you know, with all this money and can't enjoy. You'll be like a lot of people out there. You'll be like that dog that run after the car. Y'all know we was down south. Passed by, just said they used to just let them dogs down south just run loose. Dog ain't never been on the leash in all his life. We pull up there, y'all just go bark and bark and run and run your car all the way. And before you get out your car, you had to call the people so they can get him. But the thing about it, stop the car, the dog couldn't drive. Ain't that right? We just run after stuff, don't we? I was on my way to a meeting downtown. Homeless man sitting down there with a bottle of wine in his hand. This lady walked by and she was dressed up in her power suit and she was looking good. Had her briefcase on her way to a meeting, and the homeless man said, hey, baby. Lady kept on walking. I stopped there and I said, let me ask you something. What could you have done with that lady if she had stopped? He just looked at me and said, who are you? I said, I'm just saying. I said, you called her. She didn't stop. But what could you have done with her? I said, could you have carried out the lunch? If she didn't go to her meeting, what meeting did you have for her to go to? You see, we're too busy running after stuff that we can't have. But then it says, this child will determine the rise again of many nations in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He's also going to be a sign. This child is going to point to God. See, a sign points you somewhere, don't? When you're riding and traveling in a sign, me and my wife always be debating when we travel what these signs mean. See, she don't know before I travel what I go and get my book from the state and read it. But anyway, you know, these signs, you know, you know, you have to know what these signs mean. These signs meant something. You know, we had a debate about this sign that it looked like it's going to take you in a curve, but it's telling you to follow the direction of the road. My wife said, no, it's telling you to follow the direction. So we had this debate. And you all know who was right. Because I told you I had my driving book in the glove compartment. But I'm saying the sign is going to point you to this child that's going to come, that's going to determine the rise and fall of men and ladies, but he's going to point you to God. And it says, and many will be spoken against him. But then it says down in that 34th, 35th verse, when I wrap my message up, it says, yea, a sword shall pierce thou own soul also, and thou as many hearts may be revealed. In other words, he's letting Mary know that there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce her heart. At Calvary's cross, I don't know about you, but has anything ever happened to your child that a sword just pierced your heart? See, Mary's standing there watching her son, this boy that she had raised, this human side of Jesus. But you know, Jesus had already been telling her, even when he told her that I must be now to go in and do my father's business, she knew that she raised him. But even though the people were still having problems with Jesus coming the way he did, even at the wedding, Jesus had to prove to them that he was God when he turned the water to wine. And they went and asked Mary, and Mary said, do whatever he said. But now we see here that they said at Calvary, you're going to watch your son die. But 3 days later, while you up there, he's going to rise up and all power is in his hand. But he said there's going to be a sword, Mary, that's going to come and it's going to pierce your heart. But I just want you to know that I'm giving you this child. But I want you to understand this child is going to be on a mission. And the mission of this child is to save lost humanity. And there's going to be some things that this child is going to have to go through, Mary. It's going to be some things that he's going to have to do. But I just use you as there's nothing holy or nothing divine about Mary. God had to have a body. So he had to use this 14-year-old girl who was a virgin before she got pregnant, and she was a virgin after she had the baby, but she had other babies. But the miracle is that she was a virgin before she had Jesus. She was a virgin after she had Jesus, and that's the miracle of this whole thing. But you see, God had to use a body, and he used Mary's body just to bring this child into the world to have this human side. But that human side of Mary was breaking. But he said, if you go to Calvary's cross, you're going to see that my child is going to be raised. He's going to be raised. I just want you to understand some things. That God will keep his promise. Bank of America may close your credit card. You know, if you don't use them credit cards regularly, they'll close them out. You're not using your car. I just want you to know that there's some things in life that may happen to you. But I just want to know there's one thing that you can show enough trust. And you can take this to heaven with it. I just want to come down here and tell you something before you go in 2017. I just want to tell you something that's the buck naked truth. A truth without a horse without a saddle. I'm talking about the buck naked truth. The buck naked truth is that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and his everything that you need. God will supply it. I want you to know that God has got your back. God is going to give you that salvation. And I told you, salvation has benefits. Whatever you need, God is going to make a way for you out of no way. All you have to do is believe his word. He has 8,000 promises in the Bible, and he's able to keep every last one of those promises. God has promised you, and God cannot lie. And when you read God's promises, God is going to deliver. God is going to deliver, just like he allowed Simeon to see this Lord Christ before he died. Whatever it is that you need, if you need a new house, if you need better health, if whatever it is that you need, all you have to do is trust God, and you'll be up here giving your testimony. All you have to do is trust God. Don't don't trust them folks out there at the riverboat. They out there trying to take your money. Don't trust all of this other stuff that's going on out there. Don't trust Bank of America. They want your money too, but it's good to deal with banks. But if you don't have a good credit score with them, God got a better credit score for you. He's a way maker out of nowhere. He's a deliverer. He's bred in a stormy land. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. How many of you can keep your promise? God can keep every promise that he made to you. He will supply everything that you need. 1,000 may fall on one side and 10,000 on the other side, but those things are not going to come near to you. You can speak life. You don't have to speak death. You can speak life and you would have life. God say, I came to give you the abundant life, Shannon. Now, let me tell y'all something about the abundant life. The abundant life. You know, I couldn't be happier if I won the lottery. God, when I go to, do you want? No, I don't need that. I got God. When you have God, you don't need the ways of the world. See, when you fall out with the ways of the world and God has got your back, God will take care of you. There's nothing that you need more than Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You cannot make it in this world without Jesus. If you were to die today,
my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Where would you spend eternity?
My Lord.
I don't want you to think about leaving here. I want you to think about being here. But every now and then, being here, you have to take out a policy. And I got a policy today that would indemnify you beyond the grave. There's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. I promise you that. There's nothing in death. There's nothing in life. There's no angry set of angels. You know, the angels got upset when God made man. There's no angry set of angels that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing in the stars. Sometimes the stars get high and you read the things y'all read in the paper. Horoscope. Let's see that. Look at the high of horoscope. The low, all of that stuff determines. But there's nothing in the height of the stars. There's nothing in the lowness of them that would separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Are you out there? God loves you.